listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Cutie the bomb, met her at a beauty salon with a baby Louis Vuitton under her underarm. She said, I could tell you rock, I could tell by your charm. Fars girls, you got a flock, I could tell by your charm and your arm. But I'm looking for the one, have you seen her? My psychic told me she'll have an ass like Serena, Trina, Gina for Lopez. Four kids that I gotta take all they bad asses to showbiz. Okay, get your kids, but then you got your friends. I pull up in the Benz, they all got up in, we all went to den, and then I had to pay. If you fucking with this girl, then you better be paid. You know why? Take too much to touch her. From what I heard, she got a baby by Buster. My best friend say she used to fuck with Usher. I don't care what none of you say, I still love her. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Tells podcast with your host Rod and
Karen.
We're live on a Saturday afternoon, Sunday afternoon.
I was about to say, we pushing it back.
I made a mistake, everyone.
Rewind.
Karen figured it out.
Boom, 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 boom.
Wrong day. It's Sunday afternoon, second day of NBA playoffs.
We've been doing so much. I mean, I would believe it was yesterday.
Second day of NBA playoffs on the weekend. My favorite time of the year. And of course, we have the return to Game of Thrones tonight, so mm-hmm. It shall be lit, as the children say.
Yes,
can't wait. So yeah, we got all that stuff going on. You can find the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Leave us 5-star reviews, like for real. Like, leave us 5-star reviews, please, on iTunes and Stitcher. We appreciate those. Didn't get any last week.
I mean, come on now. I mean, I'm looking like at the downloads and I'm looking at the reviews and I'm like, some of y'all been walking up in here every Sunday school. Y'all been coming to Sunday service, the 8 a.m. and the 11 a.m. Y'all been coming to Bible study. Y'all also have been coming to Friday night revival. You know, we got revival going on this week, and so we've been looking at that. I know we've been talking about vacation Sunday school, so I be seeing some of y'all up in here a lot, and I know some of y'all just visiting, but some of y'all know y'all names are on the rolls and y'all ain't put 5 on it. So you know, I'm you know, maybe there might be something wrong with me, but you know, I'm looking around the room and you know, something just ain't right with all, you know, these people that's been up in here coming in here eating for free and stuff like that. And I mean, you won't even have a courtesy to put 5 on me and pastor's anniversary. I mean, come on now.
You guys can also leave comments on our website, theblackguywhotips.com. you can vote in the polls there. You can leave us emails, theblackguywhotips@gmail.com. You can leave us voice messages, 704-557-0186, 704-557-0186. We appreciate everybody takes time out to do that. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
And the unofficial sport is
football.
And bullet ball extreme. And let's just get right into the show. There's all kinds of news going on right now. Political news. Bernie Sanders, much like Trump, has not released his tax returns as of yet. He's kind of gotten a pass on that from a lot of people that demand to see Trump's taxes.
Right.
But you know how it is when you like somebody, it's different. But he now has pledged to release his tax returns by Monday. Now, I'm assuming this is really going to happen, unlike when Sean King said he would release his financial statement on March 1st, and it is now halfway through April, and we never got those numbers. So maybe this will actually happen with Bernie, I expect, since he's actually the front runner this year. He can't run and know he's gonna lose and have, you know, kind of plan to lose. So that's part of it. You know, he's gonna go ahead and do that. April 15th is coming. He said, we wanted to release 10 years of tax returns. April 15th 2019 will be the 10th year, so I think you will see them. I don't understand what that even means. What that arbitrary 10th year thing has to do, and then I think you will see them, seems a bit nebulous of a statement, but fine. He's gonna release his tax returns. The real tea in here.
What's the real thing?
Is that now that he's got to release his tax returns, he would like to tell people that he is actually a millionaire.
People already knew this.
Well, people did not already know that.
Maybe I made the false presumption that you was already rich, because most of the people that's in Congress and Senate are already rich.
He ran it's a very important I would like to make this important acknowledgement.
Okay.
He ran as the guy who was shitting on candidates for having money. We can't really just be like, oh, we just always thought you were rich. He ran on the assumption, I am not as rich as these people, and being rich is a character flaw. Like, people that have money are obviously cannot be trusted to run the government because they're rich. It's the 1%.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, yeah, that's been his campaign. It's his motto.
He did it to Democrats too. Like, mm-hmm. It wasn't just a Republican thing. He did it to Democrats as well, basically saying they had ties to big money and they were corporatists and capitalists in the way that he wasn't. He's a socialist, blah blah blah. Okay. He says, I wrote a best-selling book. If you write a best-selling book, you can be a millionaire too. And sounding a little capitalist. And then it was kind of interesting because he says this, and I remember him shitting on Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton has written best-selling books. So, mm-hmm. I mean, she amassed her money from work as well. From success as well. So it just sounds kind of funny to see it come out of his mouth as like, no big deal. And of course it will be treated as no big deal by most people, because most people are going to be like, you know, because I don't think it should be that big a deal. I think you should be able to be president off the basis of your ideas and your commitment to doing them.
Agreed.
I don't think you being rich means you will not be committed to these ideas. I didn't think that with Hillary Clinton. Like, oh, she's rich, so she's actually not gonna try to raise the minimum wage. She's not gonna do that now. Like, nah, she's gonna, if she gets the office, she will still attempt to raise the federal minimum wage or whatever she can, because she ran on that campaign promise. It's not about her book or whatever the fuck else. Mm-hmm. But it's funny because it's that double standard that Bernie just seems to get.
Yeah.
You know?
Now that I 100% agree with. But like I said before, I always was like, okay, you got money, but like you say, his whole campaign was everybody else got money. Well, then, nigga, you one of them. So why the fuck? I mean, the thing is, I do understand his stance as far as, you know, the 1% getting these cuts and all that stuff, which is fine, but include yourself in the number, you know. Yeah. Don't act like you're an exception to the number.
I always just thought his view was too simplistic, and that's why I never believed he wanted to win, because he was using that shortcut of rich people equal bad, rich equals bad. And I'm like, how are you not rich though? Like, you've been in this Congress for so long, or Senate or whatever for so long, you've been famous for so long, you have done things, you're not making any fucking money. Are you giving all the money away? Like, you have to be lead by example when you say those things. So his lack of transparency with his own money made it seem kind of fraudulent. Like, well, if you're living it the way you say you're living it, then why not just show them people what you do with your money? Because people are gonna go, well, are you dodging on your taxes? Like, are you playing 3% in taxes? And then that's the same thing Trump is saying, because Trump was doing like, I'm smart, I just know how to rig the system, and I just use what's in there. We need to close these loopholes. If y'all really want people to pay their fair share, I'm okay with it, but y'all need to close the loopholes. Put me in charge, I'll close the loopholes, but I'm not paying because I can afford to get over. I would like to see if that's what the fuck was happening. And you know, this whole arbitrary, oh, I said I was gonna release, I never believed he would go and release his taxes, because I knew he wasn't gonna win. So it wasn't a real issue to him, and he knew he wasn't going to win. The only people that thought he was going to win were his rabid supporters, but if you look at the numbers, he never really had a chance. You know, he just was trying to convert too much of the base to him in too short of a period of time. And then and he basically ran as not being Hillary Clinton. For all the people that say Hillary Clinton ran as not being Trump, Bernie Sanders literally ran as, I'm just not Hillary Clinton. So anyway, the bar was so low for him that I don't think this will actually affect him. And now he is a front runner, maybe not the front runner, but he is at least a front runner. So I think it'll be different this time. So he has to release his taxes to be like, all right, guys, I might win this shit. So here's my taxes so we can get this over with. So that was one big political thing. We'll see tomorrow if the numbers come out. And then the other big political thing is that Ilhan Omar is being attacked with death threats and doctored videos trying to imply that she, as a Muslim woman, somehow has no actual deference to the 9/11 terrorist attack on America. One of the people that circulated this video is this dude something Crawford, Dan Crawford, Dave Crawford, anyway, you may know him as the guy with the eye patch who Saturday Night Live mocked him. Pete Davidson mocked him, and then everybody got up in the Republicans got up in arms of, he lost his eye in the war or in battle or something, and you, this is a veteran, and da da da. So Saturday Night Live famously brought him back on and sat him and Pete Davidson sat at the weekend news update whatever desk, and they basically kind of shook hands and made it like water under the bridge. The guy was able to make a few jokes about Pete Davidson, and it was considered like no harm no foul, we went too far on SNL and we apologize. Well, he's now one of the main people that has been tweeting out and promoting this article, I mean this news clip, that makes it seem like Ilhan Omar was just sitting around saying that 9/11 was a thing that happened. Like, I forget the exact quote, but it was like dismissive, like, you know, it was some people that did a thing or something. No, like, that's not what she said. It's obviously out of context, it's obviously doctored. It has not stopped the Republicans from running with it, because she's a Muslim woman and they've been having it out for her for a long time. The other part of it is that he has basically acted like, well, I didn't think, you know, I just think she should be accountable for what she said. I'm not saying that the video, I just shared the video. It's not like I came up with, you know, that
but
shit.
But you shared it, and that's the problem.
Right. So that's that kind of thing where, I don't know, it's kind of scary to see that happen to somebody, but it's also kind of predictable.
Right, because it's one of those things where it's very frustrating, because y'all go, well, y'all know this is y'all colleague, and y'all attack her all different kinds of fucked up ways. Y'all attack her publicly. People can see it. Y'all ain't trying to hide it. And the things that, quote unquote, is too dirty for y'all, y'all let motherfuckers like this promote and do the shit that y'all want to do but can't do, because nobody comes out and reprimand this man, and nobody comes out and says we're against this. Y'all let it slide because y'all in agreeance. And it's very dangerous, because it's like, y'all do know that when you get that one crazy ass nut job, that extremist that might actually go beyond just these words and threats, they might actually go out and try to actually harm this woman, everybody's gonna want to come and condemn him. But this is the bullshit that you put out in the air. This is the shit that you promoted.
Right. So yeah, it's just kind of one of those things where, she's being purposely misrepresented. And as with all this shit, I kind of find a little bit of irony in it, because she's kind of on that wave of like that Justice Dems type of incoming people that are like, we campaigned on being like the anti-Democrat Democrats. Like, we're anti-establishment Democrats. And there's this weird kind of relationship between them and then like the Democrats that have been there for a while, because you really came into office by shitting on us, right? You shitted on us, and now you're in office. You got the seats that you wanted. You know, you're saying the things you want to say. You're on TV, you're on Twitter, you're saying these statements. Statements that you've always condemned other Democrats for not making, right? Things that people go, okay, but if you say it like that, it's gonna probably cause a shit storm and it's harder to get work done in a shit storm. Okay, they went, fuck it, conventional knowledge, we're younger, we're gonna throw that out the window, we're gonna do something our way. And I think her, Ocasio-Cortez, Ayanna Pressley, and Rashida Tlaib have kind of become the faces of that. I'm not saying they're the only ones. I'm not even really saying they deserve to be the faces. I don't feel like they all operate the same, to be honest.
They don't.
But that's how they've kind of become the faces of this kind of Justice Dems, like, it's the Democrats that are the real problem sort of Democrats, right? Or liberal people that, you know, ran as Democrats, which I encourage. I think those type of people that have felt like they haven't had a voice in the process, this is get them getting involved in the process. Agreed. A lot of people are shitting on them and wanting them back out of the process, or wanting them to like pay the consequences for being outspoken and all that stuff. They're gonna pay that no matter what.
Agreed.
So like, I don't have to have any ill will towards them. That's Mm-mm. They are saying things that haven't been said the way they said them before off of Twitter. You know, the things that Ilhan Omar says are not that controversial on, like, just Twitter.
Mm-mm.
They're very controversial in real life, because real life's not Twitter. You know, you're not speaking to a bunch of people who agree with you all the time. Some of the things you're saying are beyond the pale for a lot of, like, just the general American consumption. Doesn't mean you're wrong, but it does mean that it's new to them. And no one said it to them to their face like that, right? So... for Ilhan Omar's part, she's been very like outspoken on Twitter. She's not backing down. She's, you know, talked about America and she is American. She's Muslim. She's all these things. But, you know, this idea that she can't uphold the Constitution or she hates the country, she has to fight against that. What I find interesting about that is looking at her Twitter account and her kind of like allegiance to America. It's funny how she has to say that in contrast to the attack she is experiencing, right? Because
that's the catch 22.
Like, you can be American and be like, I fucking hate America because it's been fucked up. I'm still an American. I don't get to not be an American, but America has a very fucked up track record with my people. And so, no, I might not be all, you know, flag waving, you know, rah, 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 let's go get them, Team America, fuck yeah. But you can't really say that in elected office. And it's like, she almost has to shield herself in this patriotism, because the attacks she's experiencing are essentially calling her unpatriotic and saying she doesn't love the country and why is she even holding office, and people are sending her death threats and all that type of stuff.
Yeah, because, you know, for a lot of majority of white people in our country, only white people are allowed to complain about America. Nobody else. No, everybody else's complaints are fuck your complaints.
Right.
If I complain about how I lost my white collar job, I am an American. You know, if I complain about farming, even though there's minority farmers, I am an American, okay?
Right.
I can complain about the shit that I think is unjust and not right and unfair and not valid. I can complain about these things because I consider myself as being white and American. Everybody else is other. So these other people complaining, their voices don't matter, their voices don't count, and if they don't get along with the shit that I'm talking about, they automatically go to un-American. And that's why it's some bullshit, because white people have complaints about America too now. They know this country is not perfect. They know it's shit that's fucked up that actually directly impacts them too. But when it's some shit that they don't want to talk about racism, you know, you want to talk about being, justice, slavery, you know, genocide, you know, the things that have been done to Native Americans, Asian people in this country, when you start talking about that shit, that don't directly quote unquote impact them. So fuck all that. And you bring that up, you're anti-American. So the same system that you claim to love and you complain about probably more than anybody else, because you think you got the right to complain bigger than anybody else, you can complain about these things, but if anybody else breathes hard in the direction, all of a sudden you want to pick up your flag and stab us like we're not fucking Americans.
Yeah, what I find interesting is she gave a full speech
about a week after the Christchurch shooting occurred, the terrorist event in New Zealand. The mosque got shot up. It left 50 people dead, more people even injured. She said, many people expect our community to feel like it needs to hide every time something happens. But repeatedly we have shown them that we are not to be bullied, not to be threatened. We are not to be terrorized. We are strong and resilient. We will always show up to be ourselves because we know we have a right to a dignified existence and a dignified life. Abridged versions of Omar's comments were circulated on social media on Thursday, basically saying, trying to imply, like I said, that 9/11 was just something, like just something some people did, which is not what she said. Okay. The New York Post put a cover up on this magazine, cover of the paper that said, here's your something across the image of the World Trade Center towers burning, to imply that, you know, oh, every time something happens, we have to hide. And they're like, well, 9/11 is just something. You think 9/11 was just something? No, it is important. And to imply you better hide, you know, you're like, y'all better be quiet, as if all Muslims did that. As if Muslims even did it, you know? Of course, people are rallying around her. Some people, I'm not going to quote the New York Post horrifying, hateful cover. Ocasio Cortez wrote in the post on Twitter, here's one fact. At Ilhan M, is a co-sponsor on the 9/11 Victim Compensation Fund. She's done more for 9/11 families than the GOP, who won't even support health care for first responders, yet are happy to weaponize her faith. Once again, it's sad to me she has to defend herself in that the defenses for her have to be one that is wrapping her in the flag. You know, because in a way, I don't know, like, I know there's not a perfect solution to stuff like this, but way it's like, even the solution to this further tries to isolate her from being Muslims, her being herself, being an immigrant, all that stuff. It's like, how do we like show you guys that she's even more patriotic than you think? It's like, well, these people's, and I think the reason it bothers me is because these people's problem with her are not, is not her patriotism.
No, they use that as a false fight. The fight ain't about that.
She's Muslim. That's the problem with them. She's a brown Muslim woman, and she's talking.
Seems anything problem. Right?
If she was like a Republican saying, like, you know, talking their talking points, they wouldn't have a problem with her. They wouldn't let her in the fold as far as like, you know, oh, you're cool. But they would put her on a pedestal of like, look, a Muslim person's on our side. You know, so. It's definitely that she is a brown liberal woman who happens to be talking. You know, I think the interesting part is that these things on Twitter, no big deal. Tweet this out, correct. Fine. In the mainstream media, you got one arm that is Fox that is just out to destroy anything these women, anything her, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says, and I'm sure eventually Rashida Tlaib and Ayanna Pressley will get it even more. But anything they say is like, we got to get them right now. They have basically replaced these, Cortez and Ilhan have basically replaced their coverage of Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
Which I find interesting because to me, people always promote them as the anti, like, Hillary Clinton, kind of like, see, these are real progressives. This is what is going to happen. Like, we need women like this. You guys only supported Hillary Clinton because she's a woman, blah, blah, blah. Let's see how you feel about these women 20 years later, after 20 years of sustained attacks on their personhood from the biggest wing of the media. Let's see how y'all feel about it. Because I got a feeling that they will erode the goodwill towards these women to where it'll be like Hillary, where even Democrats shit on Hillary because it's shit on Hillary Day. It's always been shit on Hillary Day for so long. We don't really remember a time when people were excited about Hillary Clinton, because it's been a consistent, sustained attack on her. That appears to be what they're planning to do against Omar and Cortez. And to see the fact that people's defense of them have to be one of, she's an American, she's on the board with 9/11, she loves America, you know, like, to see that has to be the like reply back. They're already playing the other people's game. You're already playing Fox News's game. which is just sad because they haven't even been around a year, really.
No, and a lot of it too is to wear out that youthful fight, because when you have youthfulness, you have a lot of energy, you have a lot of spunk, which is nothing wrong with that, and that is always needed. And that's a lot of times these things cause the system to move, they cause the system to change. It's just at a very slow process, because when you're young, you're like, can't shit move? And people are like, yeah, it can move, but baby, it ain't gonna move as fast as you think it's gonna move, you know. But that's a part of the youth and the people, the elders, kind of working out their problems on the Democratic side.
Yeah, that's also this other part to it where I've been resistant to a lot of the hype and resistant to a lot of the demonization of these new women.
Correct.
So like I'm trying to stay away from the hype of it, because to be honest, I think the hype part is how people end up getting let down.
Right.
You start pumping these people up as the perfect solutions with the perfect things to everybody's responses, and then all of a sudden now you're micromanaging these women, right? Every single action they take. I still remember when people were talking about, you know, going at Chelsea Clinton, you know, just a month or two ago, and they were looking at Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez because Ilhan's original comments about AIPAC like secretly giving money to politicians to influence American elections, the American like politics and stuff. People are like, that's an anti-Semitic trope, okay? The secret Jewish money and shit is that's fucked up. The same, you know who else believes that? White nationalists believe that. They believe there's like a secret Jewish like government and influence on everything in the world. So people kind of were like, I don't feel comfortable with you saying that. I think you might want to walk those comments back. And when Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was one of those people that were like, yeah, she apologized and I support her and blah, blah, blah. People were like, no, you need to come out and say she was right and support that. And it's like, oh, y'all are let down because she didn't go Twitter on y'all. She went, oh, okay, this is a job, and enough people, like Jewish people, are still a group of people that have been oppressed as well,
and they're voting constituents just like everybody else,
right? And so I don't want to like offend this group while also trying to hold Israel accountable. There's like a balance there, and she had to address the elephant in the room, which is that there is a balance there. It can't just be rah 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 all the time one way today and then tomorrow your comments come up on you, right? So I remember people being like super disappointed, and I was like, that's just her learning. That's just like, that's the position where when you weren't in the race, when you didn't hold an office and you were just on Twitter and stomping, you could be like, everyone does everything wrong except me. And then you get in office and you're like, sometimes I gotta pull my shit back. It happens. I'm not disappointed in her. Mm-mm. Because I'm a realist, and I'm also not like pumping her up either to be like, leave her alone, because I'm a realist. She's gonna do some things you're not gonna agree with. That's the fucking point of holding office,
right? And also, it's one of those things, the reason why they attack and micromanage and all that shit, because at the end of the day, they want to wear them the fuck out when they give up. Mm-hmm. That's the whole point of bombarding you and washing you and constantly feeling like you're being flooded and over the most stupid and mundane shit. They purposely take your shit out of context because they know you're young. And see, people that has been around for a while, the people that y'all came in and y'all shitted on, you know, some of those people y'all gonna actually need, and they know that. And so it's one of those things where I said the youth and the young people, they eventually are going to mend bridges, and they're going to have to work together, because you know, at the end of the day, they all have a purpose,
and they are working together.
Right, they are working together, because the thing is, a lot of the old heads like, dog, you need some longevity, and you can't be out here like the road running all the time. Every now and then you're gonna have to be like the tortoise, and I know that that's gonna kill you, but sometimes you got to play the long game, and the long game is fucking slow. It's really, really, really slow, and it don't move quick. And sometimes you got to compromise. Sometimes you got to reach across the aisle. That's just a part of the fucking process. But nobody wants to hear that when they're young. And this is just, you know, something that, you know, they're going through. But I know that I feel like it will make them better politicians. But you got to go through your bumps and your lumps and shit like that. And people are seeing it live, which is fine. But the part about people seeing it live, they're seeing it live in the age of social media. When a lot of these candidates that are old went through this, but they went through it where you didn't constantly have cameras. Everybody wasn't watching them. Everybody wasn't going at them all the time. Well, if there was, there was just the news outlets and the newspapers going at them, not like it is now. And so I think that that is the difference. And also, when you're dealing with people on social media, like you said, it has to be a balance. So they're learning their balance between social media and real life. These people on social media, baby, they're not running for office. And if they get the way, and put it like this, and if the people running on social media ever got a position, they wouldn't get a goddamn thing done, because they're thinking, no, I'm not winning the compromise. Fuck you. How does the government move when you do shit like that? It doesn't. So a lot of these people that are like that, they don't give a fuck about having a position or holding a position or the things attached to the position or constituents and being reelected. They don't have to have those issues or those problems, because it's really easy for you to talk about shit that, A, sometimes we just talking. I've never been in a position of power like that, so I don't know everything that goes behind it. And most of these motherfuckers on Twitter don't know either. They're just talking.
Yeah, I think a couple of things I wanted to hit on that you brought up. Social media. A lot of these politicians now are partially famous because of social media.
Agreed.
You know, AOC for sure. Ilhan is becoming even more of a social media presence because she's being targeted, and that makes you the focal point of attacks, but it also makes you the focal point of a lot of people's attention that want to retweet you and support you. And now when you look at her tweets, I mean, you're getting thousands and thousands and thousands of retweets and responses, as of before, where it might have been hundreds, you know, and before that, dozens, right? Well, even with all that, if she's reading it, if she's consuming it, if she's responding to it, I'd hope she got good people around her. I hope she's protected, because we also know social media leads to depression. Mm-hmm. We also know that it can lead to paranoia. It can lead to people having access to you that shouldn't.
Agreed.
It can lead to harassment and things of this nature. So I hope she has people around her who are protecting her from that. And same thing for Ocasio-Cortez and stuff. I mean, a lot of these times they go live with this sort of, like, you know, like she goes live on Instagram and stuff like that. It's like, yes, you get to be a woman of the people, but you have to be careful because the people aren't all good, you know, and I worry about them for that. And we'll see what the effects are on them eventually. The second thing is, when you talked about slow processes and getting into and realizing the different perspective when you are beholden to a people as opposed to just being beholden to your Twitter followers, it reminds me of activists that always talk shit about Al Sharpton when they first start being an activist.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can almost set the clock to a black activist shitting on Al Sharpton. It happens every time. So it's Sharpton ain't good enough, he ain't doing it right, I'ma get in here and I'ma show everybody how it's done. And you know what the difference is? All of them motherfuckers are burnt out 2 years in, and they back to, like, trying to find their peace and their happy place and all that shit. And I don't blame them.
Right.
Because it's a marathon and not a sprint. You have to set up networks around you. You have to protect yourself. You need to find a way to make this a living thing that is not simply about burning your passion out. And then when you're exhausted, there's nobody there for these people anymore because you've now decided, I can't take the slings and arrows of this shit, and I have to worry about my own mental health. So you might need to organize some people around you. You might need to have people between you and the actual event and go, okay, so when am I getting there? What happened? When do I talk to the family? You might need these things to be automated around you so that you have a 60-year career and not a 6-month career. You know, these motherfuckers will burn you out. They'll flip on you on a dime. You say one wrong thing and now you ain't shit. And the same people that you were interacting with that were hyping you up are now telling you why you did something wrong. And many times the wrong thing that you did was it make a choice in an impossible situation that where there was no right.
Right.
Or you just let people down because you were human for a moment. You weren't a saint. You weren't Jesus. And you might have said something that you just kind of regret. Or you might have done something that people could take a different way. Or maybe someone, as with Ilhan and many others, maybe someone misrepresented what you said. You know? The point being that you think that 60 years of that hasn't happened to Sharpton? You think white people been sitting here trotting out his point of view and being like, let's make sure we get it as clear, as concise as possible? No. Liberal white people don't like him. Republican white people don't like him. White media outlets don't like him. Like, there's a point to, and he's found a way to navigate that.
there's something he probably could be teaching you, or you could be learning from watching him. But instead, our first response is to get in, shit on the people that are already there, and go, I can do it better. Well, this is the politician version of that. To me, it's Ilhan, Ocasio-Cortez, you know, it's all these people coming in as the Justice Dems being like, these Democrats don't know what they're doing. Let's take this shit over. And it's like, okay, I feel you. I understand the impetus of that emotion. But there's also probably a reason Nancy Pelosi has made it this long in this game, and you're not going to be able to just get her up out of the paint.
Right.
And you might want to learn that lesson, unless you want to be a 2-year politician. What are her coping mechanisms? What has she done? Like, what has she learned on that job, and what can she dispense to you? Because you are the generation that's going to be here after her if you play your cards right. So learn something too. And so I think that's been interesting. Now, the other part that the other thing that's been happening, this is mostly a Twitter thing, and I understand where people are coming from, but low key I feel like this is that pragmatist part of me that's like, this is not really gonna do anything. So a lot of people have been slamming Democrats and liberal people for not somehow attacking Trump because Trump says some shit about Ilhan Omar. Of course, he's obviously Islamophobic and bigot, all this stuff. So he attacked her on Twitter, and so people have been like, well, why Nancy Pelosi, you need to say something, Hillary Clinton, you need to say something, Barack Obama, you need to say something, all these people need to say something. What I find interesting is a lot of the people they are now begging to say something on her behalf are people that they have attacked in the past. Like Ilhan has gone hard at Obama, you know. Now he's supposed to like get information. The guy who they attacked as being a secret Muslim, what the fuck does it matter what he says? Like at this point, I'm really trying to understand, and maybe I'm missing something, but they keep saying like, we want these people, like people that y'all have demonized, other Democrats that y'all have shitted on, who have positions of power, you want them to jump in the line of fire on Twitter and defend Ilhan and like say something to Trump. And there's two questions I have. What, like, one, why do you want their word when you just call like Obama a killer with a smile or some shit like that? Like, why do you even want his defense? Like, does that not, am I only one that's not, that doesn't make sense? That's like me being like, after all the things I've said about say Charlamagne, if something were to, someone were to attack our podcast, me to be like, well, I don't see Charlamagne stepping up to help me out. Like, everybody would be like, right, why would he? And I would have to be like, you know what, that's a good fucking point. Why would he? Why do I even want that? You know, like, so to me, that's kind of, that's like the first question. And you know, I literally, it's that thing where you, they shit on the people that they call the establishment, but then they also expect them to like use the, like to use the establishment to protect them so you can later shit on them again. Like, it's just such a weird, thankless thing to ask someone. The second thing is this, though. Some of these people are coming out and, you know, supporting her on Twitter and hashtag I stand with Ilhan and all that stuff. And whether they be people with huge platforms, whether they be people with 3 followers on Twitter, what do y'all think that's going to do? And that question right there supersedes the first question I asked. What do y'all think it's going to do? The people that are attacked, who are actually attacking her, I'm not talking about people like Chelsea Clinton or Hillary Clinton or Nancy Pelosi or these people that folks feel comfortable targeting. I'm talking about the people who are actually going to send her death threats, the people who are now activated off of Trump. I'm talking about the New York Post. I'm talking about the people that own media platforms like Fox News. They're not going to give a fuck what any of these people say about we need to stand with Ilhan. None of them are going to care. Everyone does, and this is why a lot of people are exhausted with the Justice Democrats people, because when something does happen where the whole point of y'all was Democrats don't spend enough time attacking the right, they will too much. They wilt too much. They're too weak. We fight too, you know, like, we need to be fighting them. Well, now you have people in positions of power. Y'all have the offices now. Y'all are still asking these people to fight for y'all via Twitter, which ultimately means nothing. When has Trump ever been like, well, that tweet sure showed me I'm a back down. I was wrong. You know, it kind of lends itself to a point that me and you talk about offline all the time, and I'll just kind of give a peek behind, you know, the wall right mm-hmm. quick. But it's kind of like when certain people on Twitter fight with these hoteps, and then they get mad that other black people aren't going at these hoteps all the time. And it's like, because a lot of us know that the hotep is only as powerful as you give them the noise. Like,
come on.
The clicks and the attention is what they want. They don't want them, a million people telling Tariq Nasheed to go fuck yourself is, to him, the numbers on that matter is a million people. It don't matter if they're saying go fuck yourself or you're absolutely right. He just wants the attention. Trump is the same way. Many of these Republicans are the same way. Has no one learned anything? You can't fight Fox News
right
by being like, well, guys, Nancy Pelosi, Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders all came out and said, we stand with Ilhan. Well, I guess we need to let that story go. That's not how it's going to go. You are blaming these people for not being able to protect somebody from the unprotectable. You literally cannot stop. Those people have been the subject of targeted lies themselves. And guess who was stopping it? Nobody. You want Hillary Clinton to be able to stop this onslaught when she is the most lied upon person probably in Fox News history? You want Barack Obama, the subject of secret Muslim, let me see your birth certificate, to say the magic words that will stop Republicans from attacking y'all? That is not how this works. It will not work. They don't respect him. That is not how that goes. He's not a fucking savior. He's not a god. Neither is Hillary Clinton. Neither is Nancy Pelosi. Neither is Bernie Sanders. Neither is Joe Biden. None of these motherfuckers have that superpower. The other party is beholden to bigotry. That is it. There's not a concession you can have. There's not a compromise you can have with these motherfuckers. So this idea of, if enough of us say the facts, they'll have to admit it's a fact. They won't. It's the same stupid shit from 2008 to 2016. It's the same fucking playbook. Like, it's the same, like, Jesus, Obama, come save us shit. And then when he can't do it, it's your fault somehow. No, we have to stop fucking engaging these people in good faith. Stop expecting them to engage you in good faith. Stop treating their arguments as if they're good faith arguments. It doesn't matter if you served on a 9/11 committee or not. They don't actually care. They only care that you're a Muslim brown woman who has a fucking opinion they disagree with. Same thing with Ocasio-Cortez being a brown woman whose opinion they disagree with. They don't care about the facts. And everyone continues to attack those folks in good faith, as if you can combat it with some like knowledge or some shit. It's like they're gonna pick up a book and be like, oh, I guess I was wrong. No, they see brown woman with a fucking headscarf on, with a hijab on, and they go, you know what, man, something is up with her. So it's just, I don't know, it's just so disappointing, you know, that we're still here. Because what I think of is, now you're not talking about Trump and the Mueller report anymore. Now you're not talking about collusion anymore. Now you're not talking about the issues and the policies you plan on running on for 2020 anymore. No, now we're all talking about what Trump wants us to talk about. And I saw people have the fucking, I mean, it's just, people on Twitter have the, like, they're like gerbils. They have such a short attention span that it was just, we all have to pile on in the moment of, we have to protect this woman. Your tweets can't protect her. You want to protect her? Call the Fruit of Islam and say, can y'all send some fucking bodyguards down here? That's what will protect her. Secret Service detail. You're not going to protect her with your fucking tweet. You'll be sitting at home tweeting on the comfort of your iPhone, and she'll be fucking still under threat of death from people. So this is not, this ain't getting it done. And it never has, low key. even when you make people feel better with Twitter, you haven't done shit for them. Hey man, can people are threatening to kill me, can y'all send me cute pictures of kittens? It's not the same as actually protecting me, dog. And it speaks to the importance and the entitlement that we have ourselves with our own social media accounts. The fact that you would ascribe that level of power to yourself because you sent a tweet you protected her. Bullshit. Like, you can no more protect her than you can bring Nipsey Hussle back from the dead. A tweet is not shit. I'm not saying Twitter's nothing. I'm saying in the context of what y'all are talking about, fucking death threats. You know who else got a lot of death threats? Barack Obama, the guy that y'all mad not saying enough. He got the most death threats ever of all time. They sold out of bullets when he took office. What are you talking about? This has been the reality for everyone for all this time. The people you said didn't go far enough were threatened with death. Hillary Clinton, they were mailing bombs. Did you think this was a game? Did you think this was only for them? Like, this is some real shit. It's not just like the people you call cowards were being told, I'm going to kill you.
Right.
The people you call cowards were people we were afraid when they took the dais to give a speech would die. And those are your cowards. Those are your killers with a smile that you demand perform this protection for you that is essentially amounts to nothing because they're not protected. The only fucking thing that can protect you is your own bravery. You take this position, you say these words, now you have to go out face the American public with the fact that they might want to fucking kill you. Nobody wants to talk about that shit.
But
that's what Barack Obama been walking around with every day, him and his family. That's what Hillary Clinton walks around with every fucking day. Everybody talks about how much money people got and all this shit. If a motherfucker want to kill you, they can be broke and find a way to kill you.
Happens every day, B.
Happens every day. No one wants to talk about that shit. Everybody want to be a Twitter martyr. All these people walking around saying all this shit under the auspices of representing the American people are dealing with this too. So it's kind of a weird flex to be on some like, you didn't tweet enough for me, for my taste. It's ridiculous. Like, I understand it's a litmus test and people love these purity tests and it's a good like, well, this will separate the candidates I will vote for and won't. Cool, it's the primary, do your thing, this is what you're supposed to do in the primary,
right?
Every little issue is gonna be the biggest issue in the world. Use that to kind of cherry pick who your favorite politician is. Understand that. Cool. Understand, even if that your favorite politician or your least favorite politician says leave Ilhan alone, it ain't gonna change not a goddamn thing. The fact that she is a woman of color in a position of power has put her in danger from jump. And the more truthful she speaks, the more forceful she speaks, she's going to be even more of a target. And when she fucks up, that's right, because she ain't perfect, she's going to still be a target. If she were to say everything the way that these people demand she says it, she would still be a target. You have to understand the underlying evil of what you are dealing with when you are dealing with this country. Everyone taking it upon themselves to use their platforms to speak some level of truth to power to this public is in danger. Okay, we're talking about a man who is in charge who says the media is the enemy. And yet somehow you expect this same media to be on the side of only liberal people all the time. They scared too.
Right.
Like, it's a big ass problem. One that many people took for granted for 8 years because they thought, we have a president in charge that looks like he's responsible. So let's shit on him. Let's shit on the Democratic Party. Let's shit on the voting populace. Let's shit on everybody, guys. Let's just have big old shit party. And then you get some motherfucking actual, not even thinly veiled, open, racist, bigot, evil people in charge. And now everybody wants Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton to come down from the mountain and save them. They couldn't save themselves. How the fuck they gonna save you? It's just crazy. But I hope that at least what I've seen from Ilhan's own tweets, she seems to have a better handle on this than most people. Like, everybody else is running around freaking the fuck out, and she seems to be the one like, hey, this is part of the job. You know, now I don't mean that that doesn't mean she's not scared behind the scenes or whatever. I mean, she's human too. But she seems to be like, no, I'm not going to stop talking. And this is what the job is. So whether she's like using that to like push herself, promote herself, that's dope. I don't care. She seems to be a person that seems to have some really valid points of view. So if she's promoting herself, that means she's also promoting her point of view. Good. And if it's really just what she means, if that's just a genuine way that she's looking at everything, also good. I have no problem with that woman. But like I said, this to me was always going to be the problem for a lot of folks. And they need to get off of their who's tweeting about it shit and get to some actual, like, what can we really do? Like, what can we really do to protect somebody? Because we always say that word, and what it normally ultimately comes down to is a bunch of tweets, maybe a GoFundMe. What do we do for something like this? Because I don't know if y'all understood this was going to happen. I've been saying it on the show for a minute now. Every time we cover this topic, I'm like, yo, these people are dope. I love them. I don't know what the fuck is gonna happen, because this shit is cool on Twitter. It's not cool everywhere,
right?
So what do we do for that? So but yeah, I mean as long as you don't see these people coming out and being like, fuck her, I think it's gonna be fine either way, because this shit will pass. Because this was really initially started by Donald Trump and his tweets, and like everything with him, he has the shortest attention span, and he will move on to something else controversial probably today.
Come on.
And y'all will be talking about whatever the fuck he tells you, whatever he dictates, y'all will be talking about. Because at the end of the day, no one can stay focused on anything. It's all just, well, what did he say today? I don't even follow Trump. I have him muted down on Twitter. I have him
blocked, yeah.
I have him blocked everything, and it still gets through.
Right.
It still gets through. And the fact that people are still placating him by going, we have to respond to him. How come you didn't say anything to Trump on Twitter? Why do you think he's going to learn? There's the only lesson he's learned is that the worse he is on Twitter, the better it is for him.
Correct.
Idiots. Oh my god. Anyway, I'm sorry. I know they just people and they responding because they hurt too, and this is a fucked up country. But it's just, I don't know, it's like expecting something different at this level, at this time, from the same tactic. How am I the crazy one to be like, y'all have to stop addressing him and going back and forth with him?
Right, because you all look like lunatics.
Yeah, I was listening to I think it's called Radio Atlantic or something, the Atlantic's podcast, and they had Howard Dean on, and Howard Dean was talking about, you know, long shot presidential candidates. But one of the things he brought up was, because he wasn't endorsing anybody, he just was bringing up different examples, and one of the examples he brought up when it comes to dealing with Trump, he was like, Amy Klobuchar had a great way of dealing with him. Because she did her announcement out in the snow, and Trump tweeted some stupid shit about the snow and how she looked dumb out there or whatever. And she replied back when the media asked her about it, because they always do. She was like, I wonder how his hair will look in the snow. And then she hopped on to all her policy points and didn't talk about it any further. Now, most of these politicians can't help themselves. They love the moment that Trump recognizes them, because then they get the grandstand on like how he's a horrible man and we need to come together as a country. She didn't even waste time doing that shit. She's like,
it's not worth it.
She's like, just get to the policies. His hair looks stupid. Let's get to the policies. That's the fucking point. Now, I'm not saying she's a better, like, don't write up here about her. I don't really give a fuck about any of these candidates.
You don't.
As has been repeated ad nauseum on my podcast and in my real life. But that tactic, there's something to be said for that. You can't let him dictate your fucking platform and what you spend your time talking about. The Democratic debates can't be Trump did this, Trump said that. It can't. It can't just be that. There's 18 of y'all. How are you gonna distinguish the difference between you and the next 17 motherfuckers? Because we all know the difference between y'all and Trump. What's the difference between you and the next person, though? That's what I'm interested in. And these little kerfuffles online, they have real consequences, because people are really threatening to kill this woman. But then us exacerbating them and attacking other Democrats based off of it and shit, I don't think that actually helps anyone. Mm-mm. Even if 1,000% of Democrats were all on the same page and said, we stand with Ilhan, it wouldn't really fucking matter, to be honest.
Anyway, I know I talked for a long time. Was there anything else, Karen?
You good.
Mark Lamont Hill did chime in and said, Nancy Pelosi said, the memory of 9/11 is a sacred ground. Any discussion of it must be done with reverence. The president shouldn't use the painful images of 9/11 for a political attack. And Mark Lamont Hill quoted her and said, agree. Can we also talk about who this political attack was against? And I was like, well, what did Jill Stein say? You know these niggas would slide back. You knew these niggas would slide back. It's like they just peeked out and was like, is it okay yet? Is it okay? Can I come back and start getting paid for my opinion on politics again? Cool.
It's been silence.
Yeah, somebody was, and he did respond to somebody who was like, man, you voted for Jill Stein. What the fuck? Why would anyone listen to your political advice? He's like, y'all, so the country's on fire. Y'all won't listen to the fireman's advice. They was like, no, nigga, you the arsonist. You part of why the country burning. What the fuck are you talking about? No, we don't want your advice. Ilhan Omar did have some tweets about this. This country was founded on the ideas of justice, of liberty, of pursuit of happiness, but these core beliefs are under threat each and every day. We are under threat by an administration that would rather cage children than pass comprehensive immigration reform, an administration that would rather give billionaires tax breaks than provide a little cushion for working people, an administration that would rather attack fellow Americans who are transgender and wear our country's uniform to fight for equality and opportunity for all. I did not run for Congress to be silent. I did not run for Congress to be silent. I did not run for Congress to sit on the sidelines. I ran because I believed it was time to restore moral clarity and courage to Congress to fight and defend our democracy. No one person, no matter how corrupt, inept, or vicious, can threaten my unwavering love for America. I stand undeterred to continue fighting for equal opportunity and our pursuit of happiness for all Americans. Thank you for standing with me against an administration that ran on banning Muslims from this country to fight for the America we all deserve. So, and then Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez tweeted out a quote from I don't even know this man's last name, Martins. I can't read it because of the way it's turned, but first they came for the socialists, I did not speak out because I was not a socialist, you know that. Then they came for the trade union, mm-hmm. Then I didn't speak out, right? Mm-hmm. Then they came for me, there's no one left to speak for me. And she said, members of Congress have the duty to respond to the president's explicit attack on Ilhan's life, her life, attack today. Ilhan's life is in danger. For our colleagues to be silent is to be complicit in the outright dangerous targeting of a member of Congress. We must speak out. Yeah, and then the other thing I would say, for all this, if I was running for president, if I was just a Democrat, if I was just a colleague of this woman, I absolutely would tweet something out, mostly to get people to shut the fuck up. Because I don't think them tweets are going to save nobody. I don't think Trump is going to be like, well, damn, I didn't know Nancy Pelosi was pissed. Like, I don't think it'll change anything. Kind of deranged people that are attacking her and want her dead because she's a Muslim, yeah, they won't be swayed by these other Democrats who they don't respect. No. But if I'm running or if I'm holding a position, I go ahead and do it just to get y'all niggas to leave me the fuck alone, get out my mentions. Like, and more importantly, what I think a lot of this shows is how detached from social media the average politician is and probably has to be.
Right.
They're not reading all this shit.
You can't.
It's us who are sitting around reading social media all day. These motherfuckers, I guarantee, have two or three people between their social media and them. Probably got to have a meeting to tweet some shit out. That's why they don't never have no misspellings, typos, deleted tweets. Politicians don't even have that because there's a staff of probably two or three people before they even fucking get a tweet out. I doubt Nancy Pelosi is pulling up her motherfucking iPhone and being like, oh, what's going on the timeline?
Right, posting her notes app because she has meetings and other shit to actually do.
Right, and I think that's a huge disconnect between the general populace and these politicians. Like, these younger people, they grew up on social media. It is a part of their campaign strategy. They're constantly on, and so they're more like in tune with the minute-to-minute happenings. There's a chance Nancy Pelosi doesn't even fucking hear about this shit on the Twitter side of it until Monday. And to them, they're like, you waited 4 days? Like, nigga, I have a fucking life. I don't look at this phone every day.
I'm flying. I'm in other countries. I'm campaigning. I'm signing bills. I got shit to do.
Right. So, it's interesting. Like, I think Obama looked really savvy when in office because he was one of the first people that had campaign people just dedicated to social media like that. And a lot of people have copied his blueprint, but
that nigga don't have them niggas on staff no more. Mm-mm. He not president no more.
Mm-mm.
Like I guarantee you it's not no hourly means or whatever the fuck it used to be, or you know, like hit me on the hip and let me know what y'all about to tweet. Like, it's that shit is done. Like, his shit is much more coordinated now, but also probably much more relaxed.
Agreed.
So I just find a lot of this shit to be weird. All right, let's see what else has happened. A Michigan man sues his parents for $86,000.
For what?
For tossing his porn collection away.
What were these? The 80s? I mean, was these the best stuff?
A Michigan man seeking to squeeze out over $86,000 from his parents in civil court for allegedly throwing out his large pornography collection.
What, they DVDs? No, they're VA. What, they Betamax?
The name of the son and his parents were withheld by WXMI, who obtained the federal civil court documents on Friday. My guess is that they were all kinds of media, because if you have $86,000 worth of porn, you've gone through the generations. You probably got some.
I was about to say, you have gone, because, honey, them DVDs used to be $20, and then don't get extra fancy and want the deluxe edition or the double VHS tapes. You fuck around and spend $50.
Yeah, he probably got microfiche, Laserdisc, 8-tracks. He probably got all the porn.
Come on.
The rift started with the family back in October 2016 when the man moved back into his parents' Michigan home after a divorce. Among his possessions was a smut collection, he said in court documents, worth $29,000.
So he had moved down there. It was like, the fuck is this?
I mean, the divorce. I mean, maybe that's why he got divorced. She was like, $26,000 worth of porn. Our children can't go to college. And you in here.
You got somebody's salary down here in pornography.
You in here with Janet Jackman, the best of Afrocentrics.
I know, like somebody said, you got 45 versions of booty talk. Booty cannot talk that much.
This right here is a collection of ass-liciously delicious.
Come on!
And we are gonna have to sit down and budget the rest of the year, because you couldn't help yourself, okay?
Did it call the 1-800 numbers too?
Do you need all that ass? I mean, every last volume?
Well, baby, even the deluxe edition?
Baby, you know volume 2 got Cherokee. I can't throw that away. He's like a porn hoarder. Less than a year later, the man moved out to Indiana. When his parents allegedly delivered his property to his new home, the son noticed his massive collection was missing. They're like, son, we want you to be able to get a new wife, and any woman seeing $30,000 worth of porn is not gonna marry you. According to the documents, his parents allegedly told him they destroyed his porn. That's the extra step. They didn't just throw it out, because they knew he would have gone to the trash bin mm-hmm. to find it. They must have had like a porn burning, like book burning.
And so, I mean, to an extent, I can see him being mad, because he's like, this is a lot of fucking money. Y'all knew what this was. Just send me my shit.
Oh, I definitely can see him being mad. I would right. be. I'd be pissed off. Now, you did live in a house, so there's a, I don't know. Were you paying rent? Was it rent free? Maybe they felt owed. I don't know.
Or they may have been against pornography and it's like, the fuck is this?
Yeah, in that case, you need to get a storage room or something, dude.
Come on.
The man tried to press charges on his parents by calling Ottawa County Sheriff's Office, but the prosecutor's office did not pursue the case. Sir, we are not suing for your collection of fat ass white girls, okay? We're not mm-hmm. gonna do this.
We're big titty Barbies. We will not pursue this case, sir.
Mm-hmm. I don't think so, sir. The Blackstreet Hookers collection is not priced at $4,050. I'm sorry, but that seems a bit exorbitant, and we're not gonna waste the time of the DA on this one, okay?
Mm-mm.
Don't think we're gonna bring this one to trial, sir.
I don't think no jury's gonna be voting on this one.
Right. According to the lawsuit, the man began emailing his parents. If you had a problem with my belongings, you should have stated that at the time, and I would have gone elsewhere. Instead, you chose to keep quiet and behave vindictively. Now, that is a point. Don't secretly destroy my $30,000 worth of
Tell
porn.
Me I could have came and got my shit.
Now, I will say this. There's no fucking way he had $30,000 worth of porn in his room and it wasn't neatly organized as, like, on display. Like, I imagine it's on display the way, like comic
bookshelves. It was on right. a bookshelf. He had the original covers, and y'all right. know how them original covers go.
He was like, I have it organized by porn star, as well as by volume of series. So
be like, I have it. Y'all know how y'all, when people do comic books, they buy two versions. They go, this is the one I'm gonna read, and this is the one you don't open up the plastic.
Yeah, like I expect him to have like a Dewey Decimal system.
Come on, Dewey Decimal
in his house. He got a Dickey Decimal system. I don't know. This is my Jackie Decimal system. Okay. So we have it organized by category. Anal, of course, is in the A's. Like, how did he have it set up? Oh, you're looking for Jay for, you're looking for Jay for jacking off with the feet. I know you think it'd be under F for feet, but you have to memorize the system. Oh, you're looking for Vanessa Del Rio would be in the D's for Del Rio, not the V for Vanessa. I know, even though I do have that title, V is for Vanessa. So make sure that you check it out, and I'll sign your library card, and please return.
Please return. And please be kind. Please rewind.
Like, was he like, like, did he leave it in the box? You know, like, never removed from box, NRFV or whatever? Like, was he like, you know, I got to make sure that, no fingerprints on my porn.
And you know what? And I'm pretty sure whatever pornography store he went to, they knew that nigga. They knew him.
29.
They was like,
well,
hey, Bob, hey, that's you. You know, come on down here. We got the new shit just for you, dog.
$29,000 worth of porn. Do you even watch porn at that point? Like, is that like baseball cards? Like, that's why I stopped collecting baseball cards, is because I figured out baseball cards were not to take out, hold, and look at the numbers. It was to put in a sheet somewhere and never touch it again, and put it on display or hide it, and then one day you sell it. And I was like, this is not fun. I'm a child. I don't want this dry ass gum and these valueless ass cards. I'm not having fun. You know, it's the, oh yeah, I bought Transformers, but you don't take them out the box. So you gotta just get Optimus Prime and put them in a box and put it in storage.
You missed the whole purpose, right?
I want to play with Optimus Prime. Why would I do that?
No, but that's not how that works.
So when you have $29,000 worth of collectible porn, are you even jerking to it? Like, it must just be somewhere on the shelf. He's like, oh, here's my mint condition, never removed from box, volume one, Afrocentrics. Bootylicious.
Come on, you know that shit was probably on the display. You know how they have like the display, this glass, and got like that one thing in that glass in case it's like, spinning around and shit.
Like, somebody's like, oh my god, man, I never seen this DVD. Let me borrow your Ebony A's, and you just slap his hand away, like, sir, that is not to jerk to. Are you some sort of Philistine?
He got a porn museum.
The amount of value that would be lost just from even one drop of semen touching this VHS would completely tarnish the value of my Ebony A's collection. I would have to ask you to leave my museum.
He bought so much shit. They be like, hey, you buy so much shit, we gonna give you the discount. We give the big boys, cause we know we gonna get the money out of you.
When his mom cleaned his room, he who has been in my room? What are you talking about? Somebody was in my room. How come Booty Talk 30 was over there by Booty Talk 7? Now, we know that I keep Booty Talk 30 next to Booty Talk 36 because they both have caramel in it.
Come on!
Now, if the C's are not matched up, then somebody's been in my room touching things, and I demand you not to touch anything.
You're fucking up my collection, Mom!
Son, the cum rags were coming from under the door. I had to do something. I don't care. I'll clean up the tissues if you have a problem with it. Just say something. That's why they couldn't say nothing to him, because he probably was taking it personal.
Oh, you know he was.
Do you need $30,000 worth of porn? Get out of my room, Mom! I can't wait till he move out. We destroy his porn.
You know that's what they said.
According to the lawsuit, his father allegedly responded, "Believe it or not, one reason why I destroyed your porn was for your own mental and emotional health. I would have done the same if I had found a kilo of crack cocaine. Someday, I hope you will understand."
No, I will never understand. I'm sorry, Dad. Me finding something to yours, but like, fuck it, it don't mean nothing to me, and burning it, you will be livid too.
That's why you can't be living with other people. And that's what got him, really. You gotta keep that marriage together. You wanna keep your $30,000 worth of porn? I don't know.
Right. Crack cocaine? That mean I'm going to jail. I'm not going to jail for porn. That ain't the same.
He said crack cocaine, dog. Crack cocaine. I mean, it is a lot of crack in these porns, but.
Oh, a lot of cracks.
Come on, baby, please. I need it. I'll suck your dick to see somebody suck some dick. Oh, man. So sad. See that come between the family like that. All right, let's move on to something else. How about we do some fucking with black people?
We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people.
That's right, guys. Time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game, we go all around the globe. We find different articles to make us feel fucked with, and we assign point scores from 0 to 100 in intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody.
You think his dad looked at him but like, son, easy comes, easy goes.
I actually do think he did that. Why can't I find? Here you go.
That's how his daddy felt justified in his actions, because he didn't see the importance of it.
Deputy sheriff turns in his son for arrest over fires at historically black churches in Louisiana.
Good.
Police arrested a 21-year-old son of a sheriff's deputy in connection with the fires at three historically black churches in one Louisiana parish in just 10 days. CBS News has learned that it was the suspect's father, Deputy Roy Matthews, who turned him into authorities. The fires were devastating to the St. Landry Parish community. Investigators arrested suspect Holden Matthews Wednesday evening. Matthews' social media shows he had an interest in black metal music and is the lead singer for a band called Vodka Vultures. Matthews lived in St. Landry Parish, where the churches burned just a few miles apart. Police have not yet revealed a motive.
Racism?
Yeah, police looking for a motive for a dude who burned down black churches.
Spider-Man, Spider-Man, does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes the Spider-Man.
The churches were empty at the time of each fire. No one was hurt. Earlier the week, the NAACP said the church burnings were domestic terrorism. Deburned black churches, three of them. No motive? Come on now. What?
He wasn't burning random churches. He purposely went to the AME Zion. He purposely went to the Pentecostal. He purposely went to the non-denominational. Come on!
What do you think his excuse is going to be in court?
I thought the bitch was white! God damn it! I thought the bitch was white! Fuck!
That's going to be... I didn't know they were black churches. I just burned three random churches. Please don't hate crime me. So, yeah. 0 to 100, Karen?
Oh, 100.
Yeah.
Well, 75, because the dude turned the son in, but still 75 at the highest.
Yeah, I feel like, God, that's a good point. So to be honest, I still feel 100 fucked with.
Right.
But I do understand turning his son in must have sucked. Blah blah blah. I don't really care about that as much, but I'm glad that the right thing happened.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still 100 fucked with. It just, it's the historical image of what he did.
Right.
I know he did it to fuck with us.
Correct.
And, you know, even though his father turned him in, it's still kind of whack, you know. Cory Booker introduces a bill to form reparations study commission. All right, cool. The bill is a way of addressing head on the persistence of racism, white supremacy, and implicit racial bias in our country. It will bring together the best minds to study the issue and propose solutions that will finally begin to right the economic scales of past harms and make sure we are a country where all dignity and humanity is affirmed, Booker said in a statement earlier this week. It mirrors a bill that was introduced by House Representative Sheila Jackson Lee, Democrat of Texas. It would, if passed, form a commission to study the impact of slavery and continued discrimination against African Americans and make recommendations on reparation proposals for descendants of slaves. Many 2020 candidates are using this as a platform item. So Cory Booker is like the latest Jordan Frey and is actually using this power to propose something. Karen, 0 to 100.
Oh, 0.
0 for me as well. 0. Ta-Nehisi Coates himself said that this committee is like forming this committee, people try to treat it as a dismissive non thing. He's like, this could be fucking huge. You don't know the scope of the problem unless you study it. As of yet, nobody even wants to study the fucking problem.
Agreed.
And we're talking about probably a massive undertaking, because what isn't motivated by racial discrimination in this country? Housing, education, jobs, military. Like, there's so many things where we are owed, but you can't really figure out a way to, one, come up with solutions, or to know the scope of the problem unless you take on a committee. So it's no little thing. To see people be so dismissive of it was kind of sad, because, and I think it's really that they don't like Cory Booker, and Cory Booker is typically a milquetoast politician when it comes to race and speaking on things. But I don't give a fuck if who proposed it.
Don't care.
Like, yes, do this. So anyway, 0 for me. A white power symbol was found after a fire destroyed social justice center that hosted Rosa Parks at MLK.
You don't say.
Yeah, a Tennessee social justice center has hosted iconic civil rights leaders was destroyed in a fire. A white power symbol was found on the site. The symbol, which officials did not describe but said was connected to the white power movement, was discovered after the main office was completely destroyed in a fire last week. The Highlander Research Education Center said in a news release Tuesday it was spray painted on the parking lot connected to the main office. No one was hurt in Friday's blaze. While we don't know the names of the culprits, we know that the white power movement has been increasing and consolidating power across the South, across this nation, and globally, Highlander said. Since 2016, the white power movement. What happened in 2016, Karen? Anything? Nothing? Okay.
Well, maybe election. I don't know.
Since 2016, the white power movement has become more visible, and we've seen that manifest in various ways, both subtle and overt. Highlander, 30 minutes east of Knoxville, has provided training and organizing efforts toward emerging social justice movements in the South since 1932, when Miles Horton founded the Highlander Folk School. It played a key role in the civil rights movement by helping to organize Montgomery, Alabama boycotts and aided in the founding of the Student Nonviolent Coordination Committee, SNCC, according to the center's website. So, yep. And this is Jefferson County, so Louisiana. Is this the same? Well, this one's not a church, though.
Mm-mm. It's not a church.
So, I wonder if,
You basically, the way you described this was a very important location, and they would have meetings and shit like that. And yeah, it was just like, we're going to attack it because this is where black people conjugate. Just like a church.
Mm. Yep, they keep burning shit down. 0 to 100?
Oh, 100. Yes, it's purposely. It's a form of fear. And then when you do this shit, depend on, you know, the financial situation, some of the shit may not be able to be rebuilt.
Right.
That's also a purpose of you burning shit down.
Right. So, yeah, I would give that 100 as well. Because, obviously, that fucks with you when you see that motherfuckers are targeting these black institutions, and you left a white power symbol to let people know, not an accident.
Not an accident at all.
Last one. Justin Fairfax, who is the lieutenant governor of Virginia, black man, and has been accused of sexual assault by a couple of women at this point.
I remember that.
His accuser speaks out. She's a black woman. There has been an expectation to protect black men at all costs. In February, Meredith Watson claimed that Virginia's Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax raped her while they were in college at Duke University nearly two decades ago. Now she is speaking out to Gayle King on CBS This Morning.
Gayle be get honey, y'all better watch out. Gayle is coming from all them awards.
In an emotional interview Tuesday, Watson claimed she met Fairfax at the end of her freshman year in college. They were good friends. He was someone I really trusted, and during my junior year one night he invited me to come over to celebrate. He was nearing the end of his senior year and just wanted to hang out. I did not think anything of it because it was normal. It was something we'd done tons and tons and tons of times. She said she completely trusted him, but then she alleged he began to blocking the door, turn the lights off, and he did things that you shouldn't do to someone without their permission. And I tried several times to get up and leave and was pushed back down, she said. She continued, he forcibly sexually assaulted and raped me. It was not on the bed. Initially, there was a couch. He pulled me over and over, and I tried several times to get up and was pushed back down and held down. He denied raping her and said that the night in 2000 was consensual. Watson replied, if you have to hold someone down, it's not consensual. See, this is the shit I talk about when people bring up like true crime cases though, and they go, well, you know, they don't have enough evidence to convict this person. You never will with most of this shit, because all he got to say is it's consensual. So you either believe her or you believe me, but you can't throw me in jail for this shit. And it's enough to make people not report it. It's enough to make people not go to the police. It's enough to make police not even waste time investigating it, quote unquote. King asked, did you ever talk to him after allegedly assaulted you? Did you ever say, how could you do that to me? You were my friend. She explained that because Fairfax knew she had been sexually assaulted before, he believed he could get away with it. I did one night after it happened. I was at a party on campus. He came, and so I went to leave like I left, and he followed me out and was sort of following after me, calling after me. I was just running, trying to get away, and then I finally stopped and I turned around, and all I said to him was, why? Why would you do that to me? He said, I knew because of what happened to you last year that if I got you in the right situation, you would be too afraid to say or do anything about it. Damn. She added, he knew what he was going to do that night when he asked me to come over. Watson also addressed the backlash she received, saying as a black woman, she is even less believed and that there is a expectation to protect black men at all costs. Watson's accusations came less than a week after Vanessa Tyson said he forced her to give him oral sex in the summer of 2004. Fairfax has denied both Tyson and Watson's claims, both black women. Fairfax accusers aren't being allowed to testify publicly before Virginia legislators, so they are going public to the media. And of course, getting big old sexual assault checks in the mail, I'm sure that's the only, because you know, no one ever gets sexually assaulted.
Just be after that money.
People just like to get rich off of it somehow, mysteriously, that no one ever has figured out the calculations to how they get rich. We've never seen a bank account or a check, but somehow that's what this was, I'm sure, because he was about to buy NBC. But yeah, 0 to 100.
Oh, 100.
Yeah, it's definitely a 100, but it's also just that thing that we talk about. There has to, there, our protection of black men will often come at the cost of the other black people around us.
Of course.
Of straight black men. And that has always been a problem. And now that people are speaking out about it directly, it's not the time to shut them down or to turn around and get offended because you don't like the words toxic masculinity or patriarchy or whatever. Like this thing where you just pull the I'm an ignorant black man, don't be saying big words to me, this shit ain't gonna fly, or it shouldn't fly. People need to stop letting it fly, because you can do better when you know better. You wanting to remain ignorant is really about wanting to remain the way that you measure power, powerful. Like, I want to get away with this shit. So yeah, that's so shitty. But I did see it with him right away. Was a lot of, he's a black man, so you telling me? I'm like, okay, so when y'all found out his accusers were black women, now what? Because y'all love to play the it's these white women's trying to Emmett Till. It's Emmett Till, y'all. It's like, okay, well, it's black women. Now, are we still on that Anita Hill shit? How far have we come, really? Everybody always talks about the Me Too movement and being scared, but how far have we really even come? Justin Fairfax is still working.
Yes, he is.
He's not planning on resigning that office.
Mm-mm.
And for me, the moment that I know other people try to be more understanding of this, fuck that, I'm not. The moment for me where I said fuck this guy was when he was in that meeting after he released that statement and was like, you know, basically this bitch lying. I said, he did it. He did it. You don't talk like, people that didn't do it don't talk like that. That's not how it works. You know, that's the like, fuck that. Especially when you release a public statement saying the exact opposite of, we need to hear these women, and I do believe women, I do trust these. Fuck that, man. Bitch, be lying. Bitch is lying on me. At a fucking meeting, you holding a political office.
With his staff, and didn't think that shit was gonna get out.
Trash, man. Alright, let's do some, guess the race, and then we'll get out of here.
Now that it's time for some guess the race. That's right, it's guess the race time. Now that it's time for some guess the race. That's right, it's guess the race time. That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all the podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, Karen and the chat room, to guess the race. Of course, everyone playing is racist. All right. A woman stole a truck from city employees because she had to pee.
Oh, shit. Was there a bathroom in the truck?
She allegedly asked some Philadelphia city workers to pee between two of their parked work trucks, but she took off in one of the vehicles instead. The woman, identified as Amanda Bonner, 33, approached some Philadelphia street department employees and explained her bladder distress. Given her dilemma, the employees granted her permission to relieve her bladder in between two of their parked trucks. But as NBC 10 reports, at least one of the city's own Ford F-350 pickup trucks was unoccupied with the engine running when the woman asked to use the area near it as an impromptu toilet. The unusual request occurred at a job site, but it's around 8:30 p.m. Tuesday, but instead of just going, she actually went. She took the truck, drove off on Walnut Street. The Shock City employee...
Walnut Street. Them trucks got GPS up until they found ass.
They gave chase on foot and the others in another city truck. The employees caught up with Bonner and the stolen vehicle at a red light on 16th and Locust Streets. By then, police arrived as well, and Bonner was taken into custody. Bonner faces theft and other related offenses for alleged urge to just go. Sound like she really pissed those people off. Karen, guess the race.
White.
All right. I think when they found her, they were like, you're in trouble.
That's good.
Check the chat room. Becky with the weak bladder, white. Not a lot of guesses. White, okay. Got a few whites. All right. So I think all three went white. White, a white woman. So everybody's going white. Karen went white. The correct answer is white. Can you see a picture? No?
It's slowly coming up.
Oh.
Up!
It's like her eyes are closed. I wonder if she was drunk.
Something happening there.
She also has a red mark around her nose and neck, like they might have had to grab her up.
That's a big ass truck.
Right? Let's see. Well, before we go to the next one, I'm gonna take a quick break. All right, now to the next story. Little Rock social worker arrested in killing of pastor. She opened fire and yelled, "You broke my heart," cops say. A Little Rock social worker specializing in anger management.
Oh, I guess she didn't read her own books.
She said she knew how to manage it, didn't say which way. Is accused of fatally shooting a former St. Mark Baptist Church pastor and injuring his wife in their West Tennessee apartment on Thursday. This gotta be the worst way to get shot. Not for him. I mean, obviously, but for his wife. Like, nigga, you have an affair and now I gotta get shot? What I got to do with this?
Nothing.
According to an affidavit filed by Collierville, Tennessee police, 39-year-old Latosha Shanta Daniels.
Oh, okay.
Arrived in an apartment building to Broads and Tabitha Perry at the Meridian Parks Apartments around 9:30 p.m. Tabitha Perry, 42, who was alone at the time, let Daniels in because she knew Daniels from when she and her husband lived in Little Rock. Mm. Oh, you always know the side chick. That's for sure. The two talked for about a half an hour before Rose Perry, 36, who then served as a pastor at the Mississippi Boulevard Christian Church in Memphis, came home and soon after followed his wife and Daniels to the front door. That was when Daniels reportedly drew a handgun from her jacket and shot Rose Perry multiple times in his head and torso, repeatedly yelling, "You broke my heart."
Good God. She wanted to be sure he was dead.
Daniels then shot Tabitha Perry in the shoulder as she knelt beside her husband. According to officers, Daniels removed the gun's magazine, began to reload it with ammunition when she pulled from her jacket pocket when Collierville police arrived shortly before 10:30 p.m. So it sounded like she was going to kill the wife too, maybe.
Right, she came packing.
According to a police report of the shooting, officers ordered Daniels to drop the gun. When she didn't comply, the officers shot her with a beanbag shotgun. Authorities took her into custody. Broads and Tabitha Perry were both taken to the hospital. Rose Perry died early Friday morning. Tabitha Perry was released from the hospital shortly after, according to the Collierville police spokesman, Lieutenant David Townsend. It was a great sadness and heavy hearts that we share with you the sudden passing of executive pastor Rose Perry. A lot of men in the cloth having a lot of extramarital things going on these days. I guess this is what happens when you don't buy Lamborghinis.
Apparently so.
According to the statement, Rose was a phenomenal man dedicated to the kingdom of God. Daniels was taken to the Baptist Memorial Hospital for her injuries. Yeah, that's poor woman. It sounded like she didn't even know about that affair. And then
right, she just talked to you for 30 minutes. You know she was oblivious to what was happening.
And like the level of crazy to sit there and talk to that woman for 30 minutes, knowing what you was planning on doing to her husband. Whew. Everybody always talks. That's the thing I always thought was funny. The people that talk about the side chick rules and you got to do this and you got to do that. I'm like, you know, y'all niggas are talking about cheating, right? You know what else has rules? Marriage. The marriage you're cheating on. You are rule breakers. Hey, we're going to break the rules of these new rules. Man, only thing going to happen is somebody going to be crazy. And now everything, all the side chick rules done. Your wife done got shot.
When
you
somebody
dead.
Crazy. When somebody ain't all wrapped together, these are the problems.
She faces one count each of first degree murder and attempted murder, assault on a police officer, escaping and resisting arrest. She's been a social worker in Little Rock and possessed a doctorate in social work with a specialization in criminal justice, according to the website for the Root Behavioral Health LLC. And a lot of people that go into these fields, man, they be having some issues sometimes. It's like I'm trying to figure myself out. According to the website, she previously worked as a mental health consultant for Little Rock Job Corps and was a contract mental health provider for Pulaski County Juvenile Detention Center. Daniels was no longer being held at the Shelby County Jail on Monday, according to the online jail roster. So it must have moved her. Karen, guess the race of Latosha Shanta Daniels.
Black, and I'm surprised they hit her with a beanbag. It didn't shoot her.
Okay, going with black, huh? Mm-hmm. Let's check the chat room and see what they believe. She'll get up and sing at his funeral, too. What, black.
Oh, no!
7 whole days.
Yes!
Without a word from you. Oh, what? This is going to be Monday.
Yes, they're married.
We played a game Tuesday. Things weren't the same. On Wednesday,
yes.
I shot you.
And your wife.
Thursday, the police threw me in jail.
Come on.
Friday, they moved me. Now I know a gentleman.
And on the next week I was charged with your murder.
Mm-hmm. Sunday I was guest the race. So yeah, she'll get up and sing the funeral. With Rod, when you read the headline, I knew she was black. She was just a friend. John Gray voice. It was an emotional affair. Yeah, the emotion was anger. He shouldn't have crossed her black. Oh, I see what you did there.
Good one.
I see what you did there. Wore a musty wig when she committed the crime, black. That nigga ain't shit, black. The correct answer is, and you all got it, black.
she did that shit.
Mm-hmm. Out here telling these women you love them. She was ready to do the crime, the time for it too. You could tell.
She's been really charged with two murders, because honey, she had she was like, everybody going to die,
right?
You know, it probably told her shit like, I'm gonna leave my wife and all that shit too.
Mm-hmm. And she like a serial killer, because somebody murdered her edges before she left the house.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I went there.
Everybody dying, apparently.
She snatched her edges and then snatched that gun up and started shooting people.
Come on.
Let's go to the bonus round.
Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race.
That's right. Double the points, double the race, and the bonus round of guess the race. So far, Karen is a very rare 2 for 2.
I know, right?
But can she keep it going?
I'm gonna try.
We'll see how your racism feels in this one.
I know, right?
Volleyball coach stole female players' underwear and stored it in a label container. Drawers, police say.
Oh, is he labeling like food? Samantha Abraham, 1/22/2019. Did you put an expiration date on this? What the fuck is this?
Former university, he probably got mad when his parents threw it out. He sued him.
You know he did.
A former University of Kansas volunteer volleyball coach was arrested earlier this month for allegedly stealing dozens of pairs of underwear from female players and cataloging them in his home. Dozens of pairs?
You know, they was like, dog, have you seen my drawers? Like, I know when I packed my shit, I had X amount of drawers. Like,
I guess I just keep losing them when it's time to wash the clothes. I don't know, lady.
Right.
Just go out there without no drawers on. Speaking of which, anybody got any lightless old underwear, please? Nope. Okay, I'll be back after practice to get them. Lawrence police say they searched the home of Skyler N. Yee, 23, earlier this month after linking him to a series of break-ins on campus. Police say they found a roughly 40 drawer plastic storage container labeled with the names of current and former players. A pair of underwear was found in each label drawer.
What?
Mm-hmm. I like that he labeled the names on them. He needed to know the names in case he forgot.
I told you they was in there like you do the meat. This was meatloaf, fried chicken, sesame chicken.
It was organized like that porn.
Come on.
You need to look in the panty decimal system.
Come on.
And then you can see, let's see, I think this is, oh, 2014. Excellent year. Excellent mm-hmm. year. I remember the team had switched to bottled water. So, mm-hmm.
I couldn't even imagine. I couldn't imagine with the smell, because, you know, that people have had them on their bodies. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I guess that was the purpose of the container. I hope they was containers that, you know, kept odor in it.
He probably had them in Ziploc bags, you know, to preserve as much of the funk as possible.
Ah, okay.
That's what my guess would be.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Why can't he just do it like a regular man and get married and just smell them out of the hamster like every other human being? Oh, just me? Fine. Oh wait, one of these jazzy articles. I didn't mean for it to play music. Investigators another container held more pairs of women's underwear. Also found with pink high heels, boots, a sundress, and a jumpsuit, and other belongings that players have reported missing.
Oh, so he was stealing everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, after a while, you gotta be like, my whole goddamn, particularly when it comes to shoes, women like, where are my pink pumps? I know I had some motherfucking pink pumps to match my pink dress, my sundress that I like to wear.
Right. Like, I mean, that's pretty bold.
Right? Did he steal wigs too?
Right. Right, like what?
Hair clippings?
It's funny, he stole all that shit, but not money.
Not bracelets, necklaces. Oh, he ain't want the money. Money was not at the top of, see, money don't smell the same.
Right, like all the shit you could have stole, and that's the shit you stole. You didn't steal, jewelry. Mm-mm. You know, like car keys.
And somebody said he probably wore that stuff, possibility.
Oh, he could have been wearing
right it. Because like I said, it sounded like he was stealing whole outfits. I'm not trying to be funny. Yeah. So you stealing whole outfits, I mean, baby, live your best life, but go purchase it.
I just picture him like wearing them on his head and jacking off. I don't know why, that's what I thought. Oh,
and people do that too.
I thought he was just one of those people that was like, I gotta like, I buy panties out of vending machine.
I mean you could have talked to him. I mean, I know a lot of them would have gave you tips and told you where they got their stuff from, and may have even given it to you. Mm-hmm. You yeah. can have that, it fit better on you than me anyway.
Yep. I mean, I know it was probably easy to find them, you just follow the music, you know.
And free tonight. Just want to know that thing smells like.
I'm trying to kick it tonight. Oh, so baby, tell me what that thing.
Come on, girl, bring on here. This is good.
Tonight.
Baby, tell me what that thing smells like. Hey, girl, with the info, can we get down on the low, low in the backseat of a Volvo? Make it shake, make it jump, make it twerk, coming down just because the young player said so.
Shout out to BET Uncut.
Shout out to BET Uncut.
Trying to see what that thing smell like.
What it smell like. He want to know what a lot of things smell like.
They recovered items from unidentified owners, including more stolen underwear, bras, Halloween costumes, jewelry, and sex toys. Investigators told the paper they believe Yee did not steal the items for financial gain, but rather for his own motivation. What motivation could that be?
Yeah, that's what it sounded like, because at first I was like, okay, but then I was like, oh, so like you got a whole and you know, and it sounded like somebody that was shamed of liking things like this and didn't know how to go about doing it the proper way and was just not the drawers. I'm talking about like the clothes and the heels and all that stuff.
Y'all are assuming he wore that shit. I'm not. That's if y'all right and he was dressing in it. What if he just really just was smelling it and jacking off?
True.
Oh, somebody wore this Halloween costume. I'm a, oh yes, I'm trying to kick it tonight.
Can smell the funk. Yes.
I mean, come on. Investigators told put the paper they believe Yee did not steal the items. Blah blah blah. The alleged thefts had begun in December 2017 and continued more than a year. He resigned his post in mid-January. He was charged with 15 counts of burglary, property damage, and theft. I wonder what made him
only
resign.
15 counts, but you stole 40 pairs of drawers. Now
wonder what made him resign. Karen, guess the race.
White.
Skylar N. Yee is white. All right, let's check the chat room.
Skylar N. Yee,
I said his name. Skylar N. Yee.
Asian.
Karen's going Asian. Okay, all right, going with that stereotype of Asian men in underwear. Okay, the chat room. Asian, long duck dong Asian, brought great dishonor to his family. Asian. Aww. Jackie Chan, Chinese, Asian, Kablasian. Yeah, we're not, your guess doesn't count, Trey. You have to
they got to pick
it right. Smells like Teen Spirit or shrimp fried rice, Asiatic. The correct answer for everybody except for Trey, who tried to get too cute, end up messing it up. Everybody else got it right. Asian. Some of y'all, being Trey, did miss it. I feel like for this crime, the way that black people feel whenever it's like a man pushed a woman down an elevator shaft for $10 to go buy crack, and we watch the news and we're like,
your fingers.
I really feel like this is one for Asian people, like stealing underwear to smell them and jack off to them. Don't be Asian. And then of course here he is on the news setting everybody back. I understand and I relate. Okay, all right, let's get into the final countdown. Sword ratchetness. A
samurai sword attacker has been sentenced to 3 years for slashing her boyfriend.
Oh.
East Elherm woman whose samurai sword slash attack nearly killed her boyfriend in June 2016 was sentenced to 3 years in prison Tuesday. Carla Barber, 40, was convicted of second degree assault and two counts of endangering the welfare of a child in January after a nearly 3 week trial. Acting Supreme Court Justice Deborah Stevens Modica, was the officiating judge. Barber avoided the potential 2-decade prison sentence in jail when the jury found her not guilty of first degree assault. Barber hacked her boyfriend Franklin Laria's arm with a sword during a domestic dispute inside their apartment that they shared. She first grabbed the sheath sword and struck Laria, and the sheath fell off. Barber slashed two more times. Laria's 12-year-old son was present at the time of the attack and helped Laria call 911. A jury weighed the evidence in the case and rendered a verdict of guilty. This is a brutal attack, said Queens Chief Assistant District Attorney John Ryan. The scene had blood puddles on the floor and crimson red streaks on the walls. This could have ended more tragically, but the victim survived. Larea survived the incident despite the significant blood loss and reconciled with Barbara. Wow, they together again? He testified on her behalf at the trial and huddled outside the courtroom with Barbara's family after Barbara was sent to Rikers immediately after her conviction. Poor Kay, an unidentified relative, cried in the courtroom as the court officers handcuffed Barbara in January. Barbara tried to speak to her family in the gallery after her conviction but was denied. She didn't do it on purpose. It was an accident. Another sister in the Eagle told the Eagle in Spanish outside the court in January. The judge could have kept her out, said Barbara's defense attorney, Stacy Richmond. Nevertheless, Richmond said she saw a silver lining. I consider it a victory for Carla because she was found not guilty on the top count. I believe Carla is factually innocent, but the jury saw it the way they did. That seems wild. Mm-mm. I mean, you struck somebody with a sword, but it sounds like it was during a domestic dispute.
Mm-hmm.
And then they end up together after it. That's just, you know what? That's why you don't want to have a fucking sword in your house.
Agreed.
Because if you wouldn't have had a sword, she wouldn't have been there fucking hitting you with a sword that y'all just happen to have laying around. And now she got to go 3 years of prison. Another notch for don't have a sword. All right, guys. We'll talk to y'all later on in the week. Game of Thrones recap is coming this week. So we'll see you for that. I know tonight we're going to be guest on a podcast, the DJ Blaze radio podcast, I think it's called, radio show. And then I'm also going to be the host, the tech stuff guy, I guess, for Making Podcasts Great Again this week. So
yay!
I'll be happy to reprise my role asking President Donald Trump questions about the week.
Ooh,
so
I know that's going to be good fun.
Yeah, busy week right here, guys. We'll be back. So until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.